There was at least one silver lining to the very dark cloud that was Haiti's 2009 earthquake. It helped improve relations between Haiti and its neighbor, the Dominican Republic. After the quake, the DR reached out to Haiti to offer assistance, and Haiti welcomed the offer. But things have gotten bad between them again. Last year, the Dominican government told Haitian migrants living in the DR without legal papers to leave, and many did because they suddenly feared for their lives. Now thousands of them are living just on the other side of the border in Haiti. But as Amy Bracken reports from the border, many can't resist slipping back into the DR.
Since last summer, a sea of makeshift shelters has emerged along the southern end of the Haiti-Dominican border. Some call them camps, for lack of a better term, but that's generous. They're a collection of shelters made of scavenged sticks, cardboard, tattered clothing, and ripped tarps. Mercis lives here now with his parents and two sons. We're using just his first name to protect his identity. He worked in the Dominican Republic as a farmhand for 8 years. But he says last June, his family gave up everything and walked across the border. They were threatening us in the DR, he says. If they were going to do something bad, we didn't want to wait for it. They said if we didn't go the easy way, they'd make us go the hard way. And there were rumors of Dominicans stockpiling machetes, which seemed credible, Mirsi says, given the history here. They said what happened under Trujillo, if people didn't leave, they could make it happen again, he says. In 1937, under orders from Dominican dictator Rafael Trujillo, thousands of Haitians were massacred along the Dominican side of the border. Now, Mircis and his family live in this border camp amid heat, dust, and a fresh outbreak of cholera. But perhaps hardest to take, there is no income. So how do you survive, I ask him. He says he crosses the border to do jobs at the farm where he used to work. I cross on foot, with one eye in front and one eye in back, he says, to make sure no one hits me from behind. My heart is always jumping. Mercis is not alone. North along the border, down a steep, rocky road, is a valley filled with more permanent dwellings and vegetable gardens. Andrés Jean-Louis greets us as we walk down the road. He says he moved here last March after some Dominicans threatened to burn down Haitian homes in the DR. He points to a white cliff topped with trees. That's the Dominican Republic, he says. And among those trees, you can make out spots where the sun glints off glass or metal. Those are Dominican barracks, there and there, he says. There's one over there where they try to prevent people from crossing if they have no papers. We walk through the settlement and pick up a narrow path. A local named Jean-Joseph Daniel says this is a daily commuter route. This is the path you take to get to the Dominican Republic. It's usually easy to get through, he says. There are mornings they won't let you pass without papers, but people take the risk, and at about 5 a.m, they head to work across the border. I'm told some people walk upwards of 3 hours every day to reach their farm jobs in the DR. Just before the path descends into a dried-up riverbed, it passes a stone border marker. There are no guards here. On the Haitian side, in a hut made of branches, Christella Saint-Ime sits on a foam mattress on the ground, nursing her 6-week-old baby. Yeah, when I came here from the DR, I was 5 months pregnant. They said what happened under Trujillo, if we didn't leave, that could happen again, she says, referring to the massacre in 1937. I ask where the baby's father is. The baby's dad? He came here with us, but there's no work on this side, she says. He's gone back to the Dominican Republic. For The World, Amy Bracken, at the Haitian-Dominican border.